You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, August 22nd. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Catching us on YouTube or Facebook by the app, by podcast. Thanks for starting your day and wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you, and it's all about the outrage over Cracker Barrel changing their logo. And here's my question about the outrage. Really? Really? This is what we're choosing to be upset about today is Cracker Barrel changing their logo, and the white man is not on the logo anymore. It's too woke. I don't have time for this. But as always, I appreciate any other distraction from, you know, prices still not going down, war still going on in Ukraine and all that. So give it your best shot. But the Cracker Barrel logo, not going to work for a distraction today. Thanks for playing. On this Friday, it's Free Ticket Friday, so we're going to be giving away Milwaukee Brewers tickets to a game next week, so stick around in the next, well, fewer than 15 minutes. I'll give you today's keyword to text in using the Civic Media app and give you a chance to win some great Brewers tickets, which, you know, are not that easy to get anymore, given how well the team has been doing, including yesterday at Wrigley Field. We'll talk about that in just a sec. We'll also get into how a court commissioner in Walworth County is out of a job for insisting that due process be followed in immigration matters. You know, like no differently than in criminal matters. Because without the ability for a judge or a commissioner to review a warrant, what's to stop some big government entity from expanding its efforts to basically kidnap people off the streets who don't fit their racial profile? We'll also talk to Joe Zepecki this hour about the map warfare going on in Texas and California and what it means for democracy in 2025 in America. We're going to talk to our Week in Review panel in our second hour, of course. That includes Mark Jacob talking about his new column, reminding us that there are still Americans willing to stand up for American values. He refers to them as heroes of the resistance. They come from areas not just like politics, but law and media and education and faith. And so he talks about people who are leading the way on defending this republic and how you can help. We'll talk to a physician from Toma, Dr. Jill McMullen. She was the one recently featured in a video series by Pete Buttigieg about the impact of the Republican Medicaid cuts to rural health care in Wisconsin and nationwide. And we'll talk to Mike Clemens. He'll have an update from Packers training camp and review how the Brewers emerged from the Wrigley Field gauntlet, still in firm control of the National League Central Division. Brittany Merlot's state forecast for us tells us, a crisp and much cooler and windy weekend lies ahead. But first, a cold front needs to pass by. And I can testify to that. It's definitely a little crisper around here. Let's see, it's 64 degrees right here in Chippewa Falls right now. More clouds today, Brittany says. Showers or thunderstorms work their way across the state, especially north. Highs today will be in the mid-70s to low 80s, a west wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Rain ending this evening and decreasing cloudiness. Lows will be in the mid-50s up north, low 60s in the south, and a west wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And we'll get the full forecast for the rest of the weekend coming up in our next hour from Brittany Merlot. But first, let's head over to Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, just off the State Capitol Square, where we find Parker Olson getting set to produce this show and head into the weekend. Mr. Olson, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Pat. I will say, though, I've got a rental car right now.
You have a rental car.
Because car had some hail damage, whatever. That's getting fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I hate everything about this car.
About the rental car?
About the rental car. There is not genuinely not one thing that I like about this rental car. I hate the way it drives. I hate the way it feels. I don't even like the freaking seats.
Is this a thing about the car, the brand and everything, or the fact that it's a rental and how it's been used and taken care of?
Oh, over, no, it's over a time? It's a nice car. It is the car itself. It's not the fact it's a rental. It is 100% just this car. It's not to my liking, not to my standards, but...
Your standards? You're 22 years old.
Yeah, whatever.
You have no standards.
This is true. But okay, well, the worst...
If you can't meet your standards... I mean, look, I drove a 73 Plymouth Fury when I was your age, young man. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Please, but continue. Tell me about which luxury accessories aren't working for you.
No. Go ahead. My least favorite thing about it is it has an Illinois license plate.
It has an Illinois license plate.
I look like a fib.
That's tragic. I mean, honestly, they should knock at least 50% off the price.
That's what I thought.
I mean... Why would you do that? I mean,
it's a sick joke.
It is. There should be some kind of a tax or a refund for having an Illinois plate in Wisconsin. And I have a feeling they might feel the same south of the border.
That's probably true.
So it's a little bit more work for the rental agencies, but it's worth it to avoid having that problem.
You know,
And frankly, in a lot of other states, and we use our fair share of rental cars when we visit our daughters and things like that. And you want a plate from in that state so that it doesn't scream, you know, tourist or something like that. You know, you want to feel like a local.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be driving around Idaho, you know, with a Texas license plate or something like that. So I totally get it. But that's okay. So that's one thing. And Alicia puts up on YouTube, totally fair gripe, Parker. So there you go. That's fair. But what else? There must be something else about it.
The handling, it just doesn't feel good. And this is in part just because I'm not used to the car, but literally, the windshield wiper, arm or whatever you want to call it, the turn signal arm thing, all that stuff just feels wrong. It doesn't feel good to me. I can't see and also, this is probably a fixable thing. I just have not put the time into figuring it out. Where to put the steering wheel? Because I can't.
Where to put the steering wheel?
Yes. I think it should go
in
the back
seat. On the driver's
seat.
Side.
Nah. But no, I can't. It's in the seat, man. I can't see above 20 miles an hour on the speedometer because of where the wheel is. And
so there's no good placement for the wheel that lets you see all the important stuff on the dash and I found.
So I go like this. I'm just ducking my head going
over like a little old man. Just looking over the steering wheel. Okay. Well, I get that. I do. I'm trying not to go too old man on you going, in my day, we were lucky to have a steering wheel. You know, we used a stick. Nothing quite
you leaned.
Like that. Yeah, you lean to turn. Exactly. So, you know what? Here's where you're not going to take it then. As I'm peeking over at today's Up North News Daily newsletter, the Snap-on Milwaukee Mile 250 weekend brings IndyCar racing to Milwaukee's State Fair Park on Saturday and Sunday. So I guess you won't be taking this to the Milwaukee Mile.
I
this
will
weekend
not.
And racing it.
I would really like to, though. I would really like to see IndyCar. That'd be really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, come on. It's Indy. Oh, yes. I'm not a big racing guy, but my brother works for a company who had a sponsorship of one of the cars that was driving at Road America last summer. And we went and it was so cool. I have I'm interested in racing now.
Okay.
A little.
And look, I'm not big on the difference between IndyCar versus Formula One, but all those open wheel types. You like that kind of racing?
From time to I have not put the dedication into actually watching it very much, but if it's on, I will sit down and watch it. Yeah, I don't quite know the differences either. Indy cars are huge, though, from what I understand.
Oh, well, they may be huge, but I mean, not for the driver. Itty bitty driving space in there.
That's true.
But you've got to, you know, you've got to control the car, and it's got that little bitty steering wheel on it. And, you know,
yeah.
you would, you know, Luke Mathers is asking on the text line, does Parker need a booster seat? I think first off,
no, it's too high.
That's cruel, Luke. It's too high.
Yeah. Okay. I need to be lower.
Okay. But again, you know, every car is a little different, and maybe you just need to make some adjustments.
Maybe
you'll find. How long do you have to have this car? How long are they going to work on the hail damage?
I think it's supposed to be like 4 or 5 days. I think business day. So Monday I might also, and maybe Tuesday. I'm not positive yet.
Okay.
We shall see. I don't think I'll be driving this weekend. I think I'm going with my folks down to Janesville on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Did you catch any of the Brewers-Cubs game yesterday afternoon?
Not as much as I would have liked to have for reasons of work and nap.
That whole work thing.
Yeah.
So gets in
and
the way.
And sleep always cuts in the way of everything. But
yep. Well, the Brewers did emerge finally from the gauntlet at Wrigley Field. They won the opener on Monday. They then lost 3 games to the Cubs in the middle of the series, but they won yesterday's matinee 4-1. Bryce Durang's 2-run homer in the second inning was the difference maker. But let's talk for a moment about the Brewers starting pitcher, Quinn Priester. Anytime he's taken the mound since mid-May, the Brewers have won. That's 15 games. And then overall, over all the games he's pitched in, he just notched his 10th victory in a row. This makes the Brewers the first team in baseball to 80 wins. They are 80-48, a ridiculous 32 games above 500. And despite losing 3 of the 5 games in Chicago, they still lead the Cubbies in the National League Central Division by 7 games, a 7-game lead over the Cubbies. So what's next? The Brewers now, they've left Wrigley Field. They're back at American Family Field. And they will be playing the San Francisco Giants this weekend. Starting this evening, coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations for games this weekend. 3 games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then starting Monday, a 4-game series with the Arizona D-backs. Which leads me to Free Ticket Friday, because it's here. We've made it to the end of the work week, and this is your reward for it, for being... having to endure what the Brewers have gone through at Wrigley. How about if we get you tickets to a Brewers game next week when they take on Arizona? So let's do that. With Free Ticket Friday, it means you take that Civic Media app that I hope you've all got on your phones. I hope you can get tickets delivered to you electronically, and then that you can use them at American Family Field, because I've got 4 great seats to give away to the Brewers game next Thursday afternoon versus Arizona. That's a 1:10 start next Thursday, August 28th. If you can use those tickets and you want to be part of the contest, here is the keyword from now until 9 a.m. for this show only. The keyword is BAT, B-A-T, like a baseball bat, BAT, B-A-T, BAT. Text that to us by 9 a.m. And then there will be more keywords throughout the day, more chances for you to enter and win. And then 1 drawing will be pulled statewide, and they will get 4 tickets to see the game versus Arizona next Thursday as part of Free Ticket Friday. We'll have headlines and more coming up in just a bit. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So we were talking just a second about the Milwaukee Mile and the race going on there, because that's what I saw in today's edition of the newsletter that we put out at Up North News. Put it out during the week, and then I do a Sunday morning one about Wisconsin political news. Again, you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, where there is also a story about Great Lakes shipwrecks and some of the stories behind about a half a dozen of the shipwrecks around Wisconsin. I mean, there are hundreds of shipwrecks in the Great Lakes, and some of them have very interesting stories, and you can learn more about it in today's newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. There's also a story in there that I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit. It's about the Walworth County Court Commissioner, who has resigned after clashing with immigration authorities in the courtroom. Details on that on the way in just a bit. But first, Cracker Barrel. Again, I've already said it's a stupid attempt at a MAGA distraction, the outrage. But in case you're not aware of it, like let's explain why, as one headline says, MAGA loses it over new Cracker Barrel logo. And I have to admit, Parker, this was one of those stories where I saw a couple of either tweets or headlines. I saw a couple of tweets or headlines in there, and I was like, I'm not going to click on this. I do not want to know more about this. No. And finally, there was enough about it that I couldn't resist. I had to see what's the outrage about the Cracker Barrel logo. Did you see it at all yesterday? Or are you hearing about it for the first time this morning?
I have seen the logo, and I have seen that people were upset about it. I only thought people were upset about it because it's a downgrade as far as logos go.
Well, I guess it is. Yes. Okay. So for folks who need a refresher, for Cracker Barrel restaurants with the little country store attached to it, there's Cracker Barrel, these brown letters on an orange, kind of an oval. But then off to the left is an old man in a wooden chair with his elbow on a barrel, a Cracker Barrel. Makes perfect sense. No big deal. But logos come and go all the time. Companies rebrand all the time. We've changed our logo a couple of times at Up North News. It's part of the process. Some are hits, some are misses. And some are just meh. And this one's meh. It's now, instead of Cracker Barrel on this orange kind of pumpkin-shaped oval, it's now in something more like a, what would we call this? Not quite a hexagon, but like a rectangle with some little points at the top and the bottom. Still the brown letters on the orange background. No barrel, no wooden chair, no old white man with an elbow on barrel.
Oh, wait, I have a sound effect for that. Wait.
And, I mean, suddenly it was attacked as being woke. It's a woke logo. It might have been in part because one of the graphic designers has worked on DEI initiatives and LGBTQ matters. And so, of course, that had to be what this is, too. Although, as others noted, quote, people can't afford housing, groceries. They're going bankrupt if they get cancer. So naturally, conservatives are mad about Cracker Barrel's logo. Because it's like, you know, Bud Light and a million other things before that. We've got to be outraged at a brand. Donald Trump Jr. was a big part of it. And here's something else. They're mad not just about the logo, but something else at Cracker Barrel. Have you eaten at a Cracker Barrel?
I've never been, but I have not heard exactly scathing reviews.
Okay. On every table at a Cracker Barrel is something that you used to see more often in the days before video games. This was a game you actually played with pieces. It's a triangular piece of wood with holes drilled in it and golf tees.
Oh, okay.
And then you're supposed to move the golf tees from hole to hole in the way that as you jump over one tee, you take it off the board, jump over another tee, take that one off the board. And you're trying to get it so that there's only one tee left on the board.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
No.
If you don't play it with any regularity. Well, apparently they have changed what's written on the little block of wood in terms of the directions. And it used to say that if you were left with one peg on the board, you're a genius. Two pegs means pretty smart. If you leave three pegs, you're considered dumb, and leaving four pegs makes you an ignoramus. So a little bit of, you know, name calling and why not? What the hell?
Why not mildly harass our? Yeah.
Why not insult your customers? Yeah. Okay. So they've decided to go with something else. And it says, if you leave three or more, no reason to be embarrassed. Just try again.
Okay.
Which, again, for Mega World, where everybody has to be horsewhipped for doing anything wrong, because anything other than that means it's a participation trophy, and therefore it's bad, they lost their minds about a peg game how you're rated. And like one conservative put up, Cracker Barrel didn't just destroy its logo and restaurant vibe. It also changed the peg game to make dumb people feel better when they do poorly. I'd like to thank Sean Davis for really getting to the crux of what the hell is wrong with MAGA. And that is that, you know, they're dumb people. They're dumb if you can't solve this game. And so you deserve to be belittled.
You know.
Again, for them, anything but that is, you know, namby-pamby, mommy state, you know, liberalism, whatever. It's actually just a reason for mockery that, you know, people behave more decently than they used to. Call me crazy, but, you know, decent behavior is not a bad thing. And they didn't get rid of the white guy. They got rid of the old guy. They cleaned up the logo a bit. And just like all other branding, it's done so that they can bring them back later on.
That's true.
How they do these things. They go, oh, we're getting rid of this. Hey, we're bringing this back. It's marketing, kids. Take a breath. We'll revisit our conversation yesterday with Joe Zepecki coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joe Zepecki with us now. Let's talk a bit about this Trump attack on mail-in voting. And very quickly, a bipartisan group with several Wisconsin names on it was critical of it. Tell me about your admiration at the speed with which this bipartisan group came to the defense of mail-in balloting.
Yeah, these pro-democracy groups are ready to go. They know that Donald Trump and his administration are a threat to the regular order when it comes to how we conduct our elections, how people exercise that most fundamental right in a free democracy, which we still have for the most part. And I applaud especially Republicans. I don't care if they're never Trump Republicans. I don't care if they're moderate Republicans. Any Republican worth their salt knows that what Donald Trump said about the conduct of our elections this week is baloney. The states run elections. They are not agents of the federal government. And real conservatives, every conservative, ought to be able to stand up and say, hey, this is nuts. This is not how this works. And so to those who have been willing to stand up and say, sorry, sir, we got this. We know how to run elections. My hat is off to them. I appreciate it. It's the hardest thing to do in politics these days is for anyone, left or right, to sort of challenge orthodoxy on their own side. And we should just call it out, lift it up, and applaud it when it happens. So I appreciate those Republicans who are willing to say, we got to protect the right to vote by mail for everybody.
And he noted correctly that, let me back up. And it was noted that Trump was incorrect in his allegation that the U.S. is the only country in the world that uses mail-in voting. That's nowhere near true. And again, it was both Republicans as well as Democrats who corrected him on that. And I think the thing that makes it look even worse for the president is that he said it in the wake of, you know, Vladimir Putin, you know, saying that he thinks that mail-in voting leads to rigged elections. Parroting a Putin talking point is still not looked upon kindly in most of the United States of America as much as Donald Trump might wish otherwise.
It's nuts, but the book on Trump is clear. He can be won over very easily by flattery and by telling him what he wants to hear. And that, you know, the reality is that for another 3.5 years or so, we're going to have an American president who's a cheap date and is susceptible to flattery. Wish that wasn't the case, but here we are.
Exactly. Same. Well, the Texas Democrats returned back to the legislature and the Republicans were able to push through new gerrymandered maps. You have California's governor now bringing that up to a vote of the people to kind of follow serve with California's congressional maps. And you have former President Obama endorsing that, calling it the responsible approach, given the era that we live in. My question for you, Joe, is, was the decision by Texas Democrats to leave, was that any kind of a tactical loss, or was it a win by calling national attention to this corrupt cartography?
An absolute win. It has raised the profile of this issue. People understand that this is now a extreme emergency moment for our democracy. And I think it's way more likely that the California gambit works out because of this. And so they did it right. They didn't run away for months and months at a time. I think they ended up gone 10 days, 2 weeks, which drew a lot of eyeballs and attention. And that is the hardest thing to get right now in our information environment, is attention. So good on Texas Democrats, boo on Texas Republicans, and yay for Gavin Newsom and California Democrats, who are saying, we're not just going to take this. We're going to fight back. And I think the way that the California measure is structured is exactly right, which it is not doing away with the Independent Commission for Redistricting. It is saying this is a temporary measure to match what Texas is doing for just the next couple of election cycles. And once there's a census in 2030, it will go right back to the Independent Redistricting Commission, which is how this should work. We cannot live in a society where politicians only choose their voters and voters don't really get a choice in who their politicians are. That's not how this works. And so this is messy. This is disgusting. This is gross, but Democrats have to fight back. And in this case, they are.
Yeah. And then finally, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders coming to Wisconsin to campaign for Becca Cook. Does that help burnish her bona fides with the people who think that she might be too moderate, being endorsed by the Blue Dogs and everything else? Does it help her in that sense? Or does it create more confusion with a primary that already has three candidates in it? What do you think of Bernie Sanders coming to campaign for Becca Cook?
I think it's great for Becca Cook, and it clarifies the choice for Democrats. I also think it's worth noting how broad the coalition that Becca Cook has put together is, because you've got Bernie Sanders coming to campaign. I was listening to leader Hakeem Jeffries. I don't think anybody would accuse Mr. Jeffries of being sort of in the same lane of the Democratic Party as Bernie Sanders. And on a podcast with a national host this week, when asked about the fight for the House, Becca Cook in Wisconsin's 3rd District was the first district that he brought up and talked about. And so I think that ability to sort of appeal across the Democratic Party bodes very well for Becca in the primary next August and in the general election next fall.
There was a little bit from our conversation with Joe Zepecki yesterday. Kia Vakil is on vacation this week and next week, so we'll check in with him again back after Labor Day. Still feels weird to hear. Labor Day weekend is one weekend from right now. Story in the Milwaukee Journal this morning from John Dietrich, the reporter there. The headline says, Walworth County court commissioner says he was forced out after questioning an ICE warrant. The story says that he was, let's get the he right, Peter Navis. He's been the county's circuit court commissioner for the past 4 years and said he was told he could voluntarily leave or be fired over a July 15th incident in his courtroom when he asked to see an immigration arrest warrant from a sheriff's deputy trying to take a man into custody. Can you imagine the horror that a court commissioner or a judge would actually want to see the immigration arrest warrant? But the judges there did not back him up on it and instead gave him the choice to quit or be fired.
It is the latest in a flare-up around the country between court officials and the Trump administration trying to round up undocumented immigrants. There's a lack of universal rules on how to deal with immigration arrests in courtrooms, because while it sounds like shooting fish in a barrel for the immigration authorities, it's also a danger to public safety. If people will not show up in court for their court dates or to testify in an important court case for fear that they're going to be arrested. And the criminal case, the actual criminal case, has to take a lower profile, a lower priority in this case. Now, three of the county's judges told Navis that he had misstated their position about whether immigration warrants had to be shown before an arrest could be made in court. Now, in case you're wondering the difference between a court commissioner and a judge, a court commissioner has some of the similar functions of a judge in some of the more routine matters. So they can accept pleas, they can hold preliminary hearings in the early stages of a case, but they are not the presiding judge overall. But regardless, what happened in the incident was that he objected to deputies taking a man into custody in his court without showing a warrant. It had been an otherwise routine day, according to the Journal Sentinel story, when a deputy told Navis that someone was going to be arrested on an immigration warrant. Deputies often make arrests in traffic court, Navis said, but usually on behalf of other counties that have criminal charges filed against somebody. This one was for ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And again, as a reminder, crossing the border undocumented is basically a misdemeanor. Now, do undocumented immigrants commit crimes? Of course they do. So do citizens, left and right. And it's those actual crimes that should be a higher priority, but not if you've got a race-based presidency that wants to decimate the American workforce of hardworking people who are trying to make a better life and be safe. Anyway, Navis said he called one of the judges for guidance, and that judge described how she would handle the matter, but that he should handle the matter as he saw fit. Navis said he asked the deputies about the arrest plan and to see the warrant. Deputies refused on both counts. Now that, boys and girls, that is a big, big problem. When deputies or other law enforcement officers will not show their warrant to officers of the court, like judges and court commissioners, that's a big problem in a democracy. That puts us that much closer to state-sanctioned secret police and arrests right off the street, a papers, please, Nazi-esque law enforcement system that we do not want in this country. In other situations, Navis said, warrants issued by courts in Wisconsin are readily available. The type of warrant and authority claimed was different this time. That's why I was asking to see it, to see if there was lawful authority. Navis said the sheriff's office was failing to follow a court order that deputies show a warrant. But the prosecutor said Navis had no right to see the warrant. Again, that's troubling. That's Assistant District Attorney Andrew Herman, who, according to this story, said Navis had no right to see the warrant. A short time later, ICE officers appeared with deputies to make an arrest. Navis said that he'd been instructed by judges to require warrants before individuals are detained. The judges later said that he misstated their position, but they did not give him a chance to explain. They simply said that he had to either resign or be fired, and he chose to resign. The county is now accepting applications for a new court commissioner and hopes to have a new person hired in the early fall. Walworth County in south central Wisconsin on the Illinois border has historically cooperated with ICE, according to members of the American Civil Liberties Union. We have also seen, of course, immigration arrests at the Milwaukee County Courthouse and in other courthouses raising questions about their authority there. And this is going to continue for some time. And it gets me again to a conversation we're going to be having in the next hour with Mark Jacob, who writes the Stop the Presses newsletter. And his newsletter this week is called Heroes of the Resistance. The people who I describe as Americans who are still willing to stand up for American values. And they are in law enforcement. They are in politics. They're in the media. They're in education. They're in communities of faith. It's what we need. We need this more than ever at a time when not just the president, but frankly and sadly, so many Americans are willing to undermine their own democracy in the name of what? I mean, seriously, in the name of what? And please don't tell me it's about the crime, or you'd be doing more for criminal reform for all Americans. You're separating out a particular different race than you, different nationality than you, for matters of political convenience or personal power or whatever it is. But it's not a good look for any American. It's not a good look for America. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Let us start our Friday history lesson going back 61 years to this week in 1964. With Where Did Our Love Go by The Supremes. It hit number one this week in 1964. It was The Supremes' number one hit, and they would go on to have five consecutive number one hits with each subsequent release. Happy birthday to the Cadillac Motor Company. Caddies were founded this day in 1902. The Texas Rangers beat the Baltimore Orioles on this day in 2007 by a score of 30-3. That is the most runs scored by a team in modern Major League Baseball history. It kind of felt like we were losing 30-3 in a couple of those games at Wrigley Field, but we won yesterday, and that's the important part. Continuing on with our history lesson with our friend Greg Buck, because it's Friday, so Greg's allowed to come back and play with us on Fridays, boys and girls. Welcome them all back.
Hello, everybody.
that was quite the ovation there that you gave Parker.
That's a good woo.
That's a good Friday, not even 7 o'clock ovation. I mean,
yeah, it's a morning show. One
piece of confetti, just
one piece of confetti.
I really like that idea.
That works. How's your week been?
Busy, very busy. But I'm looking forward to a fun evening tonight as I'm going to go see our Milwaukee Brewers, our first place Milwaukee Brewers, take on the Giants, formerly of Brooklyn.
Yes, the old New York Giants, now the San Francisco Giants. Yep. Going to be fun. Let's see. Let's get to the number one song 10 years ago this week. 2015, the new number one song was by The Weeknd. So this song had a bit of a weird chart history. It was the number one song for 1 week. Then it was knocked off the top for 2 weeks. Then it was back to number one. Then it was knocked off the next week. Then it was back to number one for a week. Then it was knocked off by The Weeknd's own follow-up song, The Hills. So all in all, the song was number one for 6 weeks, just not in a row. But it was still, that song was everywhere 10 years ago.
So that Weeknd, he's a successful gent.
Yes, he is. Yep. Let's see. John Lee Hooker, the legendary blues singer, songwriter, guitarist, was born this day in 1917. Paul Molitor, 69 years old today.
Hey.
That's a much better birthday than talking about Craig Council's birthday yesterday, right? And by the way, happy birthday, Craig Council. What a nice gift we gave you yesterday.
It's true. That's a very good point.
You know? This song by Bread, because again, it's Friday. We haven't had a good Yacht Rock Friday song, and this ain't it either, but it's as close as we're going to get. Bread had the number one song this week in 1970.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever tried?
It's pretty close. It's yacht rock adjacent, shall
we
say.
Have you ever tried pumpernickel bread?
not that bread.
No. It's sweet and luscious and oh so dense.
Tori Amos is 62 years old today.
Wait, Tori Amos is 62?
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh, okay. All
right. See, there's always something. There's always something.
Man. We got to change the format of this segment, guys. We cannot have you guys crashing out about how old you are every day.
It's just weird. I accept the march of life for me.
Yeah.
It's when the people that I've admired and seen in concert or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, so and so is 72." I'm like, "Wait a minute, that's not what."
Well, no, that's, you know, I grew up listening to Chicago. So to see them at Summerfest on the 4th of July and realizing they're 78, 79, and 80 years old, it's a little weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Especially when they play the old videos behind them when they're in the late 60s, when they're all in their early 20s, you know. It's a time trip.
Look at those hairlines. They're all there.
Yeah, exactly. And Parker, if you think that these little 7-minute therapy sessions are bad for us, wait till Monday, this coming Monday, when the history segment moves. The history lesson is going to be a little bit earlier in the morning, 6:35 on weekday mornings, because we want more time to do this. Yeah. We want more time to feel our age. Like this one, country singer Colin Ray. He is 65 years old today and gave us one of those quintessential late 90s country songs that folks are still quoting today.
And I can't prove it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Such the quintessential husband boyfriend song, they caught me. Yeah. Did I say Ty Burrell is 58 today? Kristen Wiig is 52. Dua Lipa is 30 years old today. And I got one for tomorrow, one for over the weekend. Dr. Noah Drake from General Hospital. You know him better as singer Rick Springfield. He's 76 tomorrow. And I had to admit, now this is going back 15, 20 years now, so he wasn't 76 back then. But he was at Rockfest in Cadott and put on one really great show. And still has a show on one of the XM channels, too, I believe.
I saw him. He played Summerfest this year, too. And someone snapped a picture of him sans shirt. And the man is still in quite the good shape.
Ew. Well, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, live your life, bro. Live your life, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for him.
Get Jesse's girl and rock out.
Yeah. Other weekend plans for you, Mr. Bach?
I'm producing Amicus, a law review tomorrow with Jim Santel. So if you want to hear that, I mean, I won't be talking. I never talk during that show because he's the person who should be talking all the time, not me ever during his show. But that 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. And that's about all I got.
You know what? I'll pop him on right now. He's here. There's Jim Santel.
He does not have headphones on, so he does not know
what's going on.
He doesn't. Jim, just wave if it's okay to put Greg on the air tomorrow. Okay, he said yes. Greg, it's okay. Greg, you're going to get your own segment tomorrow on Amicus. Jim just agreed. He doesn't know that.
No.
But we'll confirm it after the news.
It's a mistake.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right, Greg. Again, our history lesson moves to 6:35 starting on Monday. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.